Well, yes, it is a Tuesday, and that music means it is time to talk to our Wildcat insider, Riley Gates of Go Powercat, GoPowercat.com. Riley, how you doing, buddy?
I am good. I have a new revived energy. I finally picked the game right.
Yes.
I was dead on accurate, and yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not going to lie. It's about frickin' time. Now you're either going to get on a hot streak or you're going to go cold for the rest of the year. Like after the last one that you had really good when you nailed the Mississippi State one. Yeah, you felt pretty confident last week when we talked with you about this matchup. I just didn't know the emotional side of it. I want to start with one thing off the bat, because I think there's two ways of looking at it. And that is Les Miles. And you just knew at some point the Miles to Go TV show or whatever was going to come back and bite KU with some of the things that Les Miles says, and that's going to happen when you're behind the scenes. It just typically does. You're going to get bulletin board material if there's cameras behind the scene and it leaks out in today's age and social media environment. So I have two ways of looking at it. I don't know what you think, because the players talked about how they're motivated by it. My first thought was, you know, Les probably would have been better not saying that type of stuff, but he thought, what the heck, I'm going to fire up my team. He probably knew that it might fire up K-State. But the other side of it is, if K-State needed that kind of motivation to win, okay, great, they kick KU's butt, no doubt about that. But do you really need extra motivation when you're going to play your rival in state?
I mean, I'll be really honest, and it's probably not going to sit well with K-State fans, and if any, you know, if any players were listening to this, but I thought the buildup of that being bulletin board material was like, yeah, okay, whatever. I mean, I guarantee you, every college in the country, you know, every single week says something to that extent, and I understood what Les Miles was saying.
Sure.
I mean, it blown up a little bit, yeah. Also, at the same time, I feel like KU probably could have had the hindsight to look at that before it went out and been like, yeah, let's cut that out, because they have final say over what goes in that film. But I don't know. I thought it was, all fairness to K-State, to use that as motivation, and then also on the same side, I didn't blame Les Miles for it. I thought that the results on the field spoke for themselves.
Well, I agree with you, and I don't think you need any extra motivation. You just beat Oklahoma. You want to prove that's not a fluke. KU's been talking about how, you know, they beat Texas Tech, so we got a chance to knock off K-State this year, and we're going to be at home, and the place is going to be full, and we've got the Mad Hatter, and we got a chance, and Carter Stanley's playing great. To me, all the motivation you need in the world is not bulletin board material. It is that we do not want to end our winning streak over our in-state rival. And we got something good going here. And man, oh man, Kansas State, the way you look at what they did against Kansas, and of course you look at what they did against Oklahoma, and this is pretty amazing how things can change on a dime, because you and I were talking about this a few weeks ago. You better beat TCU or you're looking 0-4 in the face in the Big 12. Now, after you beat TCU, you beat Oklahoma, you whip Kansas, now you're looking at the schedule going, if you beat Texas, you run the table, there's a chance you could be playing for the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty crazy, and, you know, obviously still very early to think about it. You're still going to need some help. Like, you know, even if you go 4-0 down the stretch, you know, you still need Baylor to either collapse or Baylor to beat Oklahoma and hand them a second loss. But pretty crazy that we're looking at a team that's sitting here and still very much in contention for the conference championship. But, you know, that's kind of why that Oklahoma win was so big, aside from the obvious, you know, upset and everything like that. It changed so much of the dynamic of this season, and it gives you that win. You know, I said before the start of the year, they're always going to win one of those games that they probably shouldn't win. And eventually they lose one that they probably shouldn't lose. And maybe that Oklahoma State game was the one that they shouldn't have lost. But now you're sitting here and like you said, you know, you're looking at a potential path to the Big 12 championship. I think it says a lot about this team that, when you were 0-2, and honestly, they didn't play good against TCU. I kind of thought they should have lost that game. But you potentially had an 0-3 start there, and now here you are at 3-2 and on the path to a potential Big 12 championship game. So it's been an amazing turnaround over the last 3 weeks, and I don't think you can say enough about the job that Chris Klieman and his staff have done. I mean, it's been remarkable.
It has been. And that offensive line, you know, you've been critical of it, as has a lot of people, and rightfully so. After the Mississippi State game, they've struggled. They couldn't do much. And now all of a sudden they're running the ball with such effectiveness. And on top of that, Gilbert didn't play. Brown tried to give it a go. I mean, K-State was using third, fourth string running backs, and they still run the ball right down Kansas's throat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't believe that they were so good at running that ball. and just kind of how that Loftin's line, like you said, has made the change. It really felt like Oklahoma has, or the Oklahoma game, gave them a lot of motivation, a lot of encouragement moving forward with what they did on the field, and then I thought they just took it to KU on Saturday. There was no question who was the more physical team in the trenches right there. And, you know, maybe we're overcorrecting a little bit too hard now. You know, maybe we're putting a lot of stock into them and they might struggle again. It's a very tough offensive line to figure out, I think, because I think they have some really good pieces. I think Adam Holtorf has taken a massive step forward over the last 3 weeks. Scott France has been a little bit better. But then, you know, you still have a couple times someone like Tyler Mitchell has some struggles. But four of the five starting offensive linemen were on the Pro Football Focus all offensive team this week. And I think that's just insane to wrap my mind around. So if you can continue this type of production or even, you know, somewhat similar to the type of production the offensive line is having right now, you're gonna be in really good shape moving forward, because you have time to get James Gilbert and Jordan Brown healthy this past weekend. And even when they're not healthy, you know, you still have Harry Trotter. And a lot of people were pretty down on Harry Trotter coming into this one, and you know, they just wanted to point at the numbers. But the fact is, there's only so many carries to go around. So, I mean, Harry Trotter's numbers were always going to be a little bit smaller. So I thought it was a phenomenal performance by that offensive line, and it really showed just how deep the running back room is with Trotter there, and then, you know, Joe Irvin right there too. So K-State's running game is in a really good spot right now.
Riley Gates at GoPowerCat, GoPowerCat.com, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty and Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Let's touch upon this. Skylar Thompson is running the ball more frequently, and thus the offense seems to be better because of it. I'm going back and look at the numbers. TCU, 10 carries, 68 yards, a touchdown. Oklahoma, 13 carries, 39 yards, but four touchdowns. And in Kansas, 17 carries, 127 yards, average 7.5 yards a carry, and three touchdowns. That you and I talked about this earlier in the year, that you don't want to be like what Coach Snyder was doing with his quarterbacks the last few years, where they get beat up and you don't want to have to go to your backup. But at the same time, now that K-State is starting to use him more in the running game, which maybe that was the plan all along, keep him healthy, and then in these big games he starts to carry a little bit more. That gives a different look offensively, doesn't it, for K-State? And it seems to be making their offense better.
Oh, I mean, it just changes everything, because that's one more dynamic that you have to defend. And when you already have a tough running game to defend with the running backs, a quarterback running game just throws one more wrinkle into it. You know, I think maybe the numbers are a little bit skewed from this past Saturday. You know, Skylar had so many pass plays called,
yeah,
where KU, and I don't even know if it was that KU had it covered, but the holes just opened up and he took off. So, yeah, it looks, I don't know, I don't have the numbers here in front of me. It's 16, 17 runs, whatever it was. That's too much. I really do think that moving forward, and you don't ever want to be in that range, especially if you're calling them. But on those situations like where Skyler, I mean, there was the 3rd and 10, I think, or 3rd and something, and Skyler had no business picking up a first down there. And then he just takes off and gets to the sticks and gets out of bounds, and boom, you've got another set of downs. So it's very, very tough for a defense to learn to stop a power running game, because that's just not something that's a thing in college football anymore. Obviously guard all the receivers out there and try to shut down the passing game. And then, oh yeah, by the way, the quarterback can take off on the drop of a dime. So yeah, if you can just keep the numbers around 12 or 13 carries a game, I think that's more ideal. I think you're going to keep them a little bit healthier, and it's going to be able to last throughout the stretch here, because I think these next four games are going to get pretty physical. You know, Texas is Texas, and they have some pretty big and talented defenders. And then you're looking at guys like, you know, West Virginia don't really have anything to play for at that point. Texas Tech probably won't have anything to play for at that point. And I don't want to say that anybody would play dirty or anything like that. I don't mean that, but, you know, it's just you play a little bit different when you're a team like that with nothing to lose.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that. What about, you know, this Kansas State defense? Kansas had put up over 500 yards of offense at Austin against Texas Tech. Carter Stanley been playing some great football. Puka Williams being involved. K-State defense hold KU to 61 yards rushing. Granted, they got behind early, had to get away from it a little bit. The time of possession, almost 2-1 in favor of Kansas State, which obviously makes your defense better. That was what we saw earlier in the year when K-State got that great start, was the defense didn't have to be on the field a lot, and when they are, they're fresh and ready to go. But talk about the defensive plan and the scheme against Kansas, how it works so well.
Yeah, Scotty Hazleton has been just phenomenal over the last 3 weeks, and I think that he's only scratching the surface on the things that he knows and things he can pull out as a defensive coordinator. He had the RPO. He had the, you know, whatever Brent Dameron was going to throw at him, Scotty Hazleton was two steps ahead of it. I think you could just look at one play, the Daquan Patton interception, and just that kind of sums up the entire day, where K-State knew exactly what was coming, probably better than a lot of KU players knew what was coming, and boom, Daquan's right there because he knew just where Carter Stanley was going to throw that football. And I think that goes back to Scotty Hazleton just being on top of it in the film room and knowing the best way to disguise schemes. That's what he's doing so well right now, and that's why I think K-State's defense has been so good over the last 3 weeks, is they're doing a really good job of disguising their coverages. You know, whether they're coming up and showing blitz and then dropping back into coverage, or they're not showing blitz and then they send one late, whatever it is, you know, I think that Scotty has been just probably the best coach on this staff right now, in terms of what he's bringing to the field. And he has the players bought in. He has the secondary. He and Joe Klanderman, and, you know, Van Malone, I guess, too, have taken the secondary from what I thought would be a bit of a struggle, and it's now a strong point, and they're still the number one pass defense in the Big 12. So that's just that's really impressive to see, I think, and, you know, you can't say enough about the job he's done.
Nope, I would agree with that. All right, so now the matchup is Texas, and Texas is supposedly getting a little bit healthier, going to get some guys back, and, you know, lost in the whole what's wrong with Texas, they've had a ton of injuries, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and that might explain a little bit why KU had so much success at Austin. Not trying to take anything away from Carter Stanley and Brent Dierman and what they did in Austin that day, putting up 48 points, but what are you hearing in regards to the injury front out of Austin and this matchup between K-State and Texas this Saturday at 2:30?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people wanted to kind of, you know, jump on Texas. It's the easy, fun thing to do, but they have been really dinged up, and right now it sounds like they're going to get a lot of these players back. You know, Caden Stearns, safety Caden Stearns is the big one. He's probably the most talented defender that Texas has, and he's been out for a while. He's probable this week. They're going to try to get him in there to practice, and so that, you know, it's going to be really good. Jeffrey McCulloch is a guy that, you know, linebacker for Texas, that a big-time player, and they're going to really Tom Herman said yesterday they're going to work to get him back onto the practice field this week. They really would like him to be back, but, you know, that one's still kind of up in the air. It sounds positive right now. And then, you know, just a handful of other guys. They've got a running back coming back, you know, not necessarily a go-to running back, but a more depth, no doubt. Another safety in B.J. Foster is going to probably be back. So just a lot of those guys that have been out for quite some time, it's all sounding like they're probable or good to go. And I think that'll obviously change the way the Texas defends K-State. When you're healthy like that, you're going to be, you know, obviously better off. But I think also at the same time, it doesn't guarantee anything because these guys have been out of the loop for a few weeks. You know, they got to get back into playing football. So K-State really needs to, you know, I'm not necessarily saying you should you should throw at Caden Stearns. It doesn't seem all that wise to attack him, but you know, he's not going to be in perfect game shape right now, and so maybe you can take advantage of that a little bit. And then, of course, on the other side of the ball, K-State's going to be – or on the other side of the field, K-State's going to be a little bit dinged up. Not sounding like A.J. Parker's going to play. He ruled doubtful yesterday, had an MRI, so maybe we'll figure out some more today when we talk to Chris Kleiman. But that'll be a big blow if he can't play, because he's been the best defender without a doubt this year.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, Tom, for your prediction. Everybody's waiting on pins and needles here to hear you're red hot. You got last week right. So Texas, K-State, who wins, and what? Give me a spread.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, K-State's been playing really well, and I really want to put a lot of trust in them and have faith. But I just, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to pick K-State. And maybe as I go throughout the week, my opinion will change a little bit more. But I think that Texas just has a lot of playmakers. I think losing A.J. Parker is going to really hurt. I can't emphasize how much that's going to change things, because I think Sam Ehlinger can then, you know, pick on it'll probably be Darryl Patterson out there, and I think he's a fine player, but he's not A.J. Parker. And so that's going to really hurt. And you know, I don't know what these defenders will be like. Like I mentioned earlier, they could be a little bit rusty, a little bit slow coming out of the gates, but there's no question what they bring back to the Texas defense. So I think it's going to be a dogfight either way. You know, I think winning team probably, you know, single digits or just a hair over 10 points. But I like Texas right now, and maybe as I go through the week that'll change. But that's kind of where my gut's at right now. And honestly, K-State, if you lose this one, you're still in great shape. You know, I would anticipate an 8-4 finish to the season. I think that that's kind of where the expectation is. And if you finish 2-2 down these final four, I mean, that's a very good season. And, you know, 3-1 would put you at 9-3, and that's obviously phenomenal.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, the K-State men's basketball team opens the season up tonight against Summit favorite North Dakota State. Should K-State fans be concerned about this opener for the Cats?
It's not going to be a walk in the park. You know, North Dakota State won the Summit League last year, went on a tear late in the season, and then got a bid into the NCAA tournament. Gave Duke a little bit of a run in the first round before Duke kind of kicked in gear and pulled away. But it's count the team, and they returned literally everybody. I mean, all five starters, I think 10 letter winners from a year ago, a team that almost averaged 80 points a game. They're a talented group, and, you know, it's no cakewalk to open the season. I mean, now it's not Duke or anything like that that KU's facing tonight, but it's certainly not going to be an easy game. And, you know, a little bit of concern with how K-State played against Washburn last week in the exhibition. I would anticipate K-State wins this game. You know, I do think they're still more talented, but I do think that they'll have some fits. And, you know, while it might not be pretty early in the year, you know, you got this one and then you've got at UNLV, the two very tough tests to open the year. While it might not be pretty, you know, that's kind of what a team like this needs. Is they're young, they're inexperienced, and they need to be tested rather than coasting through 11 games in the non-conference schedule and feeling overly confident about themselves only to get whooped in Big 12 play.
All right, I got two off-the-wall questions for you. I had one, but I just thought of another one, because today is National Donut Day, Riley. I'm sure you're well aware
of
that. Yeah, oh, yeah.
I wasn't.
You
were?
Oh, yeah, well, celebrate, man. So here's the question. National Donut Day is today. What is your favorite type of donut?
You know, obviously we got Varsity here in town, and that gets a bunch of hype, but I like it. They got some good donuts. And then one I really like is Tasty Pastry in Clay Center. You know, they got a lot of different types of donuts, and I really like eating them. But you just can't go wrong with a good old-fashioned Krispy Kreme fresh off
yes.
the fresh off the roller. I mean, I was just in Kansas City last week, and I swung by, and still as good as ever. So I'll go with that.
My 5-year-old son, he knows that Donut Tuesday, and today is Tuesday, and at the bank here in Glen Elder, they have Long John Tuesday or whatever they want to call it, and they're really, really good. So they're free. So whether I have to do business at the bank or not, I still go. And he tells me every Monday night before he goes to sleep, he tells me, Dad, write a note and put it by your basket. Donuts tomorrow. Don't forget. And I'm in
like you would ever forget donuts.
Well, that's true. That's an excellent point, Riley. You know me pretty well. But one time I did forget. I got so busy and I forgot, and I didn't hear the end of it. So to you can tell who's in charge at my house. It's obviously not me. So I got to make sure I get those donuts. All right. The original off the wall question I had for you real quickly was, I don't know why I was thinking about this. I went by a golf course the other day and I thought of you, Riley. The hardest thing about working on a golf course is you worked at a golf course at the Blake Country Club. I don't even know if there's a, I don't even know if there is a hard thing about working on a golf course based on how you guys worked out there from what I hear.
Oh, okay.
But what's
all
the
right.
hardest?
I
mean, you guys are listening to us half the time, for crying out loud, but I guess I'll let you have the floor here. What's the hardest thing about working on a golf course?
There's probably a lot of people listening to this that knew of us from our time at the country club
yes.
that would probably agree with your statement there, Wade. So I really appreciate you bringing that one up.
No problem.
So I wouldn't say like hard as in like, man, this is a really hard task to do. More just like the things I don't like doing because they take a lot of work and a lot of time. And I got to tell you, there's nothing more I hated than – and probably it was like every Wednesday, every 2 weeks or so, weed eating all of the trees, just weed eating the course. I mean, it's the trees, it's the sand bunkers, it's around stakes. I mean, everything that you can't get with a mower, you need to obviously weed eat it, and you got to do it 9 holes all around the course. And there is just every time, I swear, they added a few more trees out of the course every time that I would go and weed eat. So there was nothing that I enjoy not doing now than when I go back out there and play golf and I see some of the guys out there, you know, weed eating. That's easily the best part of not being there anymore.
on a percentage scale, from 1 to 100%, how much did you do of the weed eating and how much did Sam do?
All right. I know Jake Stanton's listening right now.
Okay.
And he had it out for me. He, like, I bet you 98%. So I worked for Jake for, I think, 4 years. And I bet you in 4 years, I probably weeded 98% of the time. Sam maybe did it once. It was bogus.
What was Sam doing if he wasn't doing that? Listening
mowing
to
fairways
us.
Or, yeah. Mowing fairways, doing the fun stuff, changing cups. Jake had a little bit of a soft spot for Sam, but not so much for me for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, you seem to be a little bit sore about that, but we'll hopefully that you guys can move on and be bigger men because of all of it. What are you working on at GoPowerCat.com real quickly?
Yeah, we just got our new Power Chat up with Bruce Weber today, part one, and very interesting conversation with him. He, you know, talks about his the life before K-State, life before Illinois, things like that. So it's a really interesting conversation. And then, lots of football leading up to Texas. Obviously, a lot of excitement right now. And then, of course, there's basketball tonight. So coverage of that. And pretty cool, plug right here. If you have a membership, we just last week started up. You can get CBS All Access now, which is the CBS streaming service. So, shows, movies, live sports, whatever it is. That's all available with a subscription now, totally for free. So that's a pretty cool little added bonus in there if you remember.
Fantastic. Riley, have a great week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, sounds good, bud.
That's Riley Gates, our Wildcat Insider. Go Powercat, GoPowerCat.com. Brought to you each and every Tuesday by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and by Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Sports Ticket, every Tuesday we talk K-State Athletics with Riley Gates.